Hello. It's great to be here. No, it doesn't work. My wife and I, Lisa, who's right over there, we've spent the last 9 months in Malawi, which is kind of southern central Africa. So I'll speak for my country or my region and not the region of these gentlemen. You know, but Africa is a big place, and it's very different from country to country. But we have had the privilege of being in Malawi with Pastor Chris Armin and Julie Armin and Pastor George and Carol. And I was looking for them, but I don't see them. They're not here. Pastor George and Carol Armin and their amazing 80-year-old missionaries that just run circles around us. Like, it's embarrassing. I'm going to hide behind this pulpit now. But it's just such a privilege to be on the mission field with these kind of people that have the mind of Christ, people that have the heart for missions. And we have such a unity in our team, and not just our team of Armins and wannabe Armins, but we have like a team of pastors now that, you know, it's amazing. Like 6 years ago, there were no Greater Grace pastors in Malawi, and now there's four pastors now in Malawi. And if you knew the background of the lives of these men, like, it's just only a work of God that could take a person from where they were 6 years ago to where they are today. And that's an awesome thing. And, you know, just because we're missionaries doesn't mean that God isn't working in us. And I remember when Lisa and I went out on the mission field, like we really went out, you know, like we had a mindset to go, like a mindset to do. There's work to be done, and we had a mindset to go and do it, and to conquer it, to take it, you know, to kick butt, you know. But God taught us something different this year. We got to Malawi in September, and we kind of found ourselves with nothing to do. And it was interesting. We traveled, I think it's close to 10,000 miles. And we were sitting in church, and I just was thinking, like, I didn't come 10,000 miles just to sit in church. Like, we could sit in church here, and I live 7 minutes away. Like, that's way easier. You know? But God put it on my heart. There's a young man in the church that's kind of a, you know, he's a tech-savvy guy, and God just put it on my heart to start spending time with this guy. And every week, I do some web design work, so every week I'd have him over the house, and I was starting to teach him how to do web design, and he was, you know, and he was getting it, and he's super technical, so he picked it up fast. And, you know, we just spent one day a week, you know, for basically 1 hour. And we just came over every week, and we had a great time, and we always just did our web talk, and we always talked tech. And, you know, he has a little computer business, so he would tell me how his business was going. And it was never spiritual. It was never spiritual. You know, and that's when I decided to leave the mission field. And no, I'm just kidding. But it was never like that. You know, it was never like these profound things, you know. And then the very last week, he comes over to the house, and I'm ready to go. I got my points, you know, I'm prepared. I got some points that I'm going to give him about the web, and, you know, this is what you need to do to make some money. And he just wouldn't let me talk the whole time. It was like an hour. He just talked to me talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. And he just told me what God did in his life this year. And it was amazing. Like, it was amazing. You know, sometimes you talk to people and they tell you back what you told them. Have you ever had that happen? Like, you say a lot of words to people and they say the words back to you. You know, but sometimes sometimes people say stuff back to you that you didn't tell them. And it's like, where did you get that? What church are you going to? Like, it's like, how did that get into you? You know, and it's like God does, you know, it's like what God is doing, it's like we're there and we have a mind to minister and a mind to work, but it's like when someone says something to you that just you don't know how it got there, and it's like only and it's a revelation of grace is what it is, and what this young man was giving back to me was a revelation of grace. And it was amazing. And it's like you can't teach it, you can't put it into someone, you can't inject it into someone's life, you can't be so interested in someone's life that they get that. It's like only God does it. Only God can put that into someone's mind and have it come out of their life and have it come out of their mouth. And the thought I've had now for the last like month and a half is in John chapter 1, and it's verse 39, and Jesus is gathering his disciples, and two of the disciples say to him, "Where do you live?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." And Jesus spends a day with these men, you know. And sometimes, like, we have a mind to go out, we have a mind to minister, we have the sense in our lives that we want to serve, that we want to inject ourselves into people's lives to serve them and to love them. But sometimes we just need to say, come and see. Sometimes we just need to take a step back from doing so much and just and kind of, not like Superman, you know, but just kind of open ourselves up and say, come and be around me. Come and see what Christ has done. If you want to understand grace, be around people that understand grace. And maybe we're those people. Maybe we are. You know, maybe I don't always have so much to say to people, but maybe I can invite someone into my life. You know, so often in missions, I'm just always thinking about going out. You know, but maybe, like, I need to let someone in. You know, maybe that's where the work's going to happen. And that's what God, you know, a lot's going on in Malawi, but that's what, you know, I think that's what God has done in us and through us this year, along with a lot of different things. But so just thank you for loving us and being here and supporting us in the ways that you do. Amen.
Isn't it great to see young people with all their teeth? And eyesight. In all parts. Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a couple verses, and then we'll make this as simple as we can. Why do we... Okay, first, would you stand with me for a moment just to kind of just stand up and kind of move around and praise God and praise God, hallelujah, a few times. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wow, the Spirit of God, amen. The name of God, hallelujah. The way of God, ways of God. The silence of God, wow. The silence of God, the waiting on God, the mercy of God, the nature of God. Thank you, Lord. Bless our night now in these few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Okay, this is amen. How about giving your neighbor a high five and sitting down? Slap on the back. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Pastor Pavel. Wow, who's this? Hey. I love you. Love you. You know, sometimes when you see a person, and they're a nice person, and you know them a little bit, but there's something about them you may not know, and that is how deep they are with God. Yeah? Hey, I love this front row here. That is a good row right there. You know, same in a church. You may see a church and loving people and awesome people, but we may not know what is really there. How do you know what is there? Proverbs 24:10, in the trouble, we find out what is there, right? You don't know. We don't know in life what is really here in me. Until there is. You are those that have endured, that have endured with me in my tribulation. What's the word? Help me. Luke 22. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to recognize that there's something there I don't know, and now we're going to move on. And I'm going to learn it later, and maybe I'll share it with you. And that is, where is that verse? And how does it go exactly? Okay. Don't get distracted. Keep. Let's go. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, is a wise master builder. You know, isn't there in engineering, there is the dead weight of a bridge. Then there is the, you know, what's the next word? Live weight of the bridge. And then there is like the storm weight or the storm. So the bridge can stand on its own. Then you put so many cars and trucks on it, that's another stress level. And then when a hurricane comes and it stands, that's another one. That one at the end is the one that we're talking about. In your life and in my life and in our church. Not when things are good, not when things are just normal traffic, but when there's a hurricane. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. This is verse 10. I have laid the foundation, which has already been laid, by the way, and it isn't Paul, he couldn't have done it, but Jesus is the foundation. But Paul is saying, in my preaching, in my teaching, in my life, in my understanding, I led people in building in the right way on the foundation of Christ. That's the only way. And it can't be based on a beard. And we just saw one of the greatest beards in the history of the human race. Okay. Or a fashion, or a style, or a language, or a philosophy, or a religion. There is none that you can build where it will stand the test of time and stress in life. Okay? Go to the verse 10 again. In another, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. We got to pay attention to how we build on this foundation. It cannot be just a group of good old buddies. It cannot be the people that I'm naturally drawn to as a friend. It cannot be just a church that is convenient for me in the neighborhood. And we praise God for all churches and all neighborhoods that are doing amazing work and preaching Christ. That's beautiful. But all of us have to pay attention to how we are building our lives. On what? For no other foundation can no man lay. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 11. Now I'll go to... All right, we got that down? All right, you understand that in some measure? We got it? Yeah. All right, we got the real, the deep work that happens in your life and mine. God is at work in you and me. He is. He's building. And when you and I come and show up here and we have our relationships, by the way, I woke up this morning and I went through a list of names where I feel that air is between me and other body members. You know, I was feeling that. How many know about the air doctrine, the air? Have you remember that? See, the old timers. But the front row, they don't know yet. But you're going to learn it right now. Okay, now here we go. Job, is it 41? Again, I got to go back to school. Job 41. Leviathan has scales, and the scales are so tight that there's no air between. And we learned years ago in our ministry that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And in a sense, you can imagine between people, there can be air between us. And that air can be energized with projections. And we can think in an ungodly way about each other. Or even have reason to kind of fill the air with suspicion or judgment or doubt or questions. And this is normal. It happens to all of us. But I would like to say, if you can get on the phone, or if you can meet somebody, or you just have a connection, or meet him in the, you know, however you want to do it, but don't let, I mean, and it's in a way it's not possible, but it's the same with all of us, that I don't want air between us, and in a way you got to help me. So that if you have something about me that bothers you, you either go to God and deal with it between you and God. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to come to me and talk about it. It depends how you want to deal with it and how I want to deal with it. Sometimes I just say, there's nothing between us. That's just a projection. I love that person, 1 Corinthians 13. I don't have anything to talk about except love. I don't have anything to say but edification. I don't have any other attitude, but I want to encourage them in the faith. That's generally how we think. But in some cases, it might be good for a person to come and hang out. Because sometimes when you're together, that stuff goes. You know, oh, that the pastor does love me. He even knew my name. He even shook my hand. Or he called me up, or he sent, or it's something like, you understand what I mean. So I think this is, when we come together as a convention, Psalm 2, the devil says, let us break their bands asunder. Let's divide them. Let's put in the air. We can in the air, because we have the power in the air. And we'll come between brothers and sisters. And will sow discord and will divide them. So that cannot happen amongst us. We are too many, we are learning this warfare and this way of life in the spirit, and we understand what love is. You know, love is not suspicious, does not think, meditate on evil. And also imagined injury. Remember that phrase? Injury that is real and also imagined injury, which happens between people, that you actually hurt me. And I had one woman say to me, many years ago, I was like stunned by a, like, you hurt me. And I apologized to her. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. What was it? She said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? No, I will not forgive you. So I, number two thing, I didn't know what it was, number one. And number two, she wouldn't forgive me. So that was the end of our relationship. And I had to say, you know, I'm sorry about this. I don't know why, but you have to forgive me. I wasn't saying it like, you know, for my sake. It's for our sake, for your sake, for what God, you okay. Okay, so let's close in prayer. No. Okay. I don't know. This message is, that's not my message. I just said, okay, so. Okay, so, wow, man, did I take a detour? Man. Okay, turn now to Judges. I'm going to make a short comment on the book of Judges. How many of you know what the book of Judges is about? Just whisper to your neighbor, turn to your neighbor, and just tell them in a minute, what is the book of Judges is about? What is it about? What is it?
Disaster and deliverance.
Good, good. Okay, here's a good statement. In Judges chapter 2, this is good for our young people. God wanted the Jewish nation, 12 tribes, to drive the foreign, the peoples that were there. They were Aborigine peoples or the native peoples of the Promised Land. He wanted the Jews to drive them out and have nothing to do with them biologically, no intermarriage, no combination of people, and then politically, no alliances with the people, no taxing the people, driving them out of the land. That's what God wanted them to do. You might say it's very harsh. It is. God had given the land to Abraham and his descendants, and God expected them to take the land, and he wanted them to. But in effect, they didn't. They compromised. First word, compromise. They compromised. They made deals. They negotiated. They let them live. They intermarried and they took their gods with them. Chapter 2, verse verse 8, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance. And also, verse 10, also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There rose another generation after them. Wow, what a good word. Another generation after the Methodists. Another generation after the fathers died. Up in Carroll County, all the little Methodist churches that are dying and empty. I think I read yesterday, was it 150 to 800 churches a week are closing in the United States. Churches are closing in the United States. There's no more teaching of the Bible. There are no more Sunday schools for children. There's no teen programs anymore. Look at the verse, chapter 2, verse, did I say 10? Yeah. Another generation after them, after Joshua and the mighty men, the next generation knew not the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know him. Matt Sliva does. Tommy Yanowski does. These young guys in Federal Hill, the people that are in this assembly and many other places in the country, hallelujah. People that are in good churches everywhere, praise God. But Carl and the folks, Wilmington, we got a vision for Wilmington. It's in our heart. We believe that. And it's deep in our hearts because we know the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. We're learning it. And there's a price that you pay to know the Lord. Now listen. Uh-oh. Come on. Hey, listen. When we are serious with God and we bring our stuff, our flesh, before God in this trust, and we're willing to lose something, we lose something and we gain something. We gain the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, the way of God. When that happens in your life, you know this. You have better, you sleep you at night. You sleep. You have peace in your heart. You have holiness. You find holiness and some authority happening in your life. And this is the building that Jesus established, that we build on this foundation. And so the book of Judges is about compromise. Now, God raised up a judge who was not a compromiser. And there's 11 of them in this book. They didn't bend. They were fervent. They had the Spirit of God inside. They had a conviction about things inside. If I don't have that kind of fire in my life, then a compromise is easy. In the end of the book of Judges is anarchy. Anarchy. And I have to say, in the United States of America, we're struggling because we have compromising living morally and other ways. We are compromising with our roots and our foundation as a nation. We're compromising in different ways. And in my personal life, I can compromise in different ways in my life. And then I end up doing everything in my own eyes. And when we're all doing things in our own eyes, where is our unity? Where is our authority? Where is our nation? Where is the blessing? Where is the presence of God? So Israel in the book of Judges is falling apart. 12 tribes fighting with each other, civil war. A civil war going on in the book of Judges. Well, here's the answer to it in the last part of our message is Matthew 10. Turn with me there. And I'm in my spirit, in my heart, very encouraged, because we are people that understand these verses and are gathering together, not everybody doing what is right in their own eyes in Finland, in Sweden, people coming from Africa and here in the United States, all of us coming together, and we're not standing there together in the assembly thinking what I want, what I am thinking, what I am desiring, what I am going to do. But instead, we are there in the presence of our God and His presence in our hearts is witnessing to us, this is the way. This is a way of blessing. This is a way of Christ. This is how we will multiply. This is how we will overcome the demons in India, the bondages in Africa and Latin America, the fears in the United States, the problems of human race. This is how it'll happen. Look at Matthew 10. There's a secret. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Oh, no. I didn't come here as a peace, to give peace. No. I didn't come here to tell you guys to get along. Come on. Shake hands. You know, come on. Get together. Pull it in tighter. Pull it in tighter. Come on. Let's get along together. Let's sing Kumbaya a few times. Let's go. I didn't come so that you would have a phony peace and you would have your own desires and your own ways, and you'd artificially get together and hold hands and pretend everything's good when in your heart it is not. But I came to bring a sword. Verse 34, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, we delight in the fact that ours is a non-violent religion. We do not convert people by swords, by military power. We are delighted in the fact that we don't have those weapons. We are not going to a country to convert the tribe by a sword. Kneel down and worship, or we will kill you. Because this is the heart. It's a sword for the heart. It's thought. It's spirit. It's God's word we are submitted to. This is how we build. We build in another way, a different kind of sword, where Jesus says, you don't have any right to yourself, only death. If you die to self, if you die, if you trust me, if you bring your bitterness, your anger, your flesh before me, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I met a Christian one time, and I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? They said, I don't think so. I said, have you ever felt God, like in any real good way? No, I haven't. I said, have you gone to church very much? Yes, all my life. Have you ever had a passion for God in the Bible? No, never. I never have. Yeah. So, aren't you glad you're not a pastor? No, joking. How do I answer them? How do I lead them? What do I say to them? It can happen to all of us and any of us at any time. I am hungry. But when you have found, you know, then it becomes your signpost. I know that's what I need. I remember it. I know that's what I need. I know what that is. I know what it is to be touched, to be broken, burdened, motivated, loving, passionate. I know what it is to love God more than anything. I know what it is to give up something and sacrifice something, and the sacrifice is nothing because God is so good and great and the Spirit is so real in my heart that I could give up anything. Anything that is so strongly attached to the human heart. I'm able to give up an ice cream cone, $100 bill, a relationship with a girlfriend that isn't right. I'm able to give up a gambling habit or some other thing. I know that, and there are physiological habits that people have, drugs and other things that they have that they wrestle with. But I do know also, and this is what Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to bring a sword into your life, a real one, a real sword, and it will change things. That's how we build. We build with a sword. We're not just a group of nice people. We build with a sword. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil cannot produce God, but the tree of life is God, and it produces God. And that's our celebration these couple weeks and years. Look at verse 35, for I come to set a man against his father. No, against my father, against your good father. He's a good man, but that's not what my kingdom is based on. Your relationship with your good father. There must be a cross between you and your father. Must be a cross between you and your children. There must be a cross between you and your church. There must be a cross between you and your girlfriend, you and your wife, you and your friend, you and the other pastors. There must be a cross between us, because that's where the building is. The cross means life. What about it? What do you think? Yep, it is like that. Look at the next one. Against her mother, the daughter, against her mother. No, not against mother. I love my mother, a girl could say. Not my mother. Yes, your mother, a cross. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, that would be easy. Verse 36, I'm joking. Oh my gosh, I just realized this. We have that in our family. No, I didn't mean that. Okay, verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Because, you know, my family can keep me back from the cross. My family could say, no, you're taking this too seriously. Or no. No, do not leave me and stay with me. And that might be God's will, but it may not be. There's the cross there. Verse 37. He that loves father and mother more than me, and I do. I love my mother and father more than God. I want you to hear this. I love my life more than God. I love my children more than God. I love my house, wherever I live, whatever I'm doing. I love it more than God. I would say even people love their homelessness sometimes. They are homeless, and they may love it more than anything. They want that kind of life. Some are sentimental. There are many, many things that fill our hearts. But it's not good building. It takes a phone call and it'll fall apart. It takes air between us and it's over. It takes a wrong word, wrong attitude, express something, and it's so fragile, it'll fall apart. There'll be a civil war. There'll be a division of people because it's not good building. It's compromise. Compromise with my family, my values, even my America. I love America too much. Somebody could say, I love America, I love my country, God bless America. Okay, hold it. Great, great, right. I agree. I'm an American as anybody else, maybe, I don't know. But my meaning is this. It's going to pass away. But they that hear his word, embrace it, and we are salt and light. And the sword that works in us gives us, I read a great verse, I got to finish, Isaiah 55, the very last verse. You know, Ray Lewis, the linebacker for the Ravens, said, what was it? What is it? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Quoting from Isaiah, the rest of the verse, read the rest of the verse. It's a great verse. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And then it says that the righteousness of God, and when somebody is judging us, they end up being judged because this is the inheritance of my people. Meaning, if this text is somehow applied to my life, there'll be an authority given to you where there'll be a righteousness in your life, and it's like you're like above and beyond every force that is in the world. There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. There is no judgment against you that can succeed. There is actually nothing on the earth that could actually be greater than who you are, because a sword has been applied in your life, in your heart. And through that sword, there is healing. Who ever heard of a sword that's so sharp on this edge? It goes, the samurai sword. I saw on a YouTube video, a guy with a samurai sword, and a baseball was pitched to him, and he sliced the baseball in half with a samurai sword. Those swords are razor sharp and very strong, and the Word of God is like a sharp razor cutting edge that goes to the depth of the human heart. And then the backswing is the exaltation, the glory, the righteousness, the truth that sets you free. And you say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. I'm a righteous man by your grace. Thank you, Jesus. I love my mom and dad, but not more than you. You have won. I am above and beyond creation. I'm above and beyond my failures. I'm above and beyond my personality or my preferences. And when you meet together with other brothers and sisters that have the sword in their heart and in their life in this operation of grace, then you have a unity and a fellowship, and you both kind of know the same thing. You know God. And that's how the ministry is built. Not on some like superficial, not, I don't want to use that word, but some basis that is so human, but it's real, but it's human. It's real sincerity and real desire and real relationships with people, but it's also very human. But when the ministry is based on a wise building of the cross and death to self, then the Spirit is manifested, and we kind of walk around saying, glory to God, Jesus is glorified in this. God did it. God is doing it. God will continue to do it, and we are edified in it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you tonight. You did not come to bring peace, because you knew that we could make it peace. We can make peace with each other, and you'd be gone. There would be no peace here. But you said there's got to be a new foundation, and that's the cross. A new way, and that's you. Unless a man denies himself and takes up the cross, he cannot follow me. But if we learn to live in a new way and surrender in our heart to you and look for truth even when it hurts, we'll find you and know you. And anyone here who's like searching, you want a revival in your heart, then I advise and preach tonight and counsel and encourage you in your heart. Give it up. Give up your rights to yourself at the cross. Give up your own self at the cross. And do it as a way of life. And you will be Spirit-filled and guided and taught by God. Yes, Lord, that's what you will do. And you have done. We have seen it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then last appeal to anyone listening who is not a believer. This is an invitation to you. From the Lord, by the Spirit of God, to your heart to say to you, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Tonight, immediately, by God's grace, you are born of God and saved by God. In Jesus' name, amen.